From Santa Monica, California, here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which Is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, and other organizations for the purpose of improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. This seminar is entitled, Factors Causing Disease and Promoting Health. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about the movement.
There's a change in the consciousness of people on this planet, and we often think that it's only taking place at what we call the grassroots level, meaning us. And believe it or not, the changes are taking place on the frontiers of science and the frontiers of people's knowingness, and that's not limited to any particular place. And I'm sure that we often look at these people who have what we call very sober positions in the world, not meaning that the rest of us are drunk, that they would not be interested in what we might call metaphysical information or things in life that transcend what we would call the real strict scientific approach. Meaning, if it's material and you can test it and it repeats, it's there, and if it's not, it's no good. People want to take into consideration the alternative point of life as a revolutionary or rebellious point of view. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but so-called natural living or back to nature or alternative lifestyles have within them the same problems that the other lifestyles have. We think that because we get into a different mode of behavior or expression, that it will then be problem-free versus the other type of method that we're living. And each one of the lifestyles has its own consistent type of problems and its consistent type of solutions. Most of our type of healing on the planet today has started out and dealt with people that are sick. And so therefore, it's very difficult to go, and I'm going to make this a general statement, and you can nail me on it. All the doctors don't know what a healthy person looks like because they've been so busy looking for diseases and illnesses that when somebody shows up who's in real good health, they're either neurotic, psychotic, or something else is wrong with them. And yet, the holistic approach, or the holy approach to man, has got to consider more than what appears as a symptom in the body when we go to see a doctor. It's got to look at something else. It would be a tragedy in our thinking if we felt that what happened to us happened because it just happened. I think that would be the ultimate victim story. Some place, sometime, some hour, maybe remembered, maybe forgotten, we set in motion inside of us on all those levels of consciousness that are in there, and maybe only on one little part, the energy, the action that brought us to this point in place and time with what we have inside of us and what we've got to deal with. And because the present-day education has taught us root, or what we might call rote memory, that you learn a certain route to get to a certain place by certain memory techniques, when you get out there in the world and you start saying 2 times 2 equals 4, and they run over you anyway, you wonder what good was the information. Or if you say, how did you get this illness, and you say diffusion through a semi-permeable membrane, they go, that didn't help. It's like, but I learned that, and that's appropriate. That's applicable. Illnesses come out of who we are, not as spirit. but who we are as an expression of the Spirit. And this is going to be very hard for some people to gather. The Spirit doesn't care what kind of illness you have, because if it did, we'd all be healed immediately. Then, who is it that cares what we have? Most of the time, we find out who that is by a person saying, "I feel." So I immediately went to my apothecary of healing remedies. I wrote these down one day riding in the airplane because I felt real high. And in fact, I was on my way to South America, and you know, when you get down there, you know that Montezuma just didn't go to Mexico. He traveled all over that country, and there's a lot of proof about that. I don't know if you know it, though, that when those people from South America and below the border come to the United States, they don't get Montezuma's revenge, because, of course, that isn't here, but what they get is known as squatter's rights. I know that sounds tacky, folks, but I could have said it in the worst way. Because said they get psychic symptoms of disabilities. Spelled physics. So I wrote down here causes of disease. And I got very interested. Maybe I can do this without glasses. Well, I can't cheat with you, though. What I do is I have a magnifying piece of... And if I had the wit to hold that up a little higher, you'd see me doing this, though, because some part of the page is a little out of focus with these things because they're not real good. I went through these, and I listed 12. And I didn't necessarily list them in an order of how they appear. I just listed them as they came through. And once I found out the causes, I thought, good gravy. There's no need to leave people just causes. You got to leave them with the cure. So these diseases, I know everybody's going to take notes now. So when we hear the whoosh, 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 that's everybody shuffling their papers to get their notebooks. And, of course, all you people that took the health awareness training, we expect you that you'd have your journal handy. And if you don't, ha, 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 ha. It's called leaving with a laugh. The first one I came up with, and I'm going to explain these a little bit, and I'm not going to insult your intelligence by explaining them in great detail. And if I say something that disturbs you, let me apologize in advance, but it's not going to stop me. I'm probably going to say it anyway. The first one I came up with is restraint. What causes disease in the body? When we restrain ourselves from going, from moving, from living our life, from going forward because of whatever thoughts we think are out there blocking us from our own level of looking and perceiving. Oh, I know the person doesn't like me because I can tell by the look on their face. They may not even be thinking about you. You see, that's even worse. We restrain ourselves. We go out of balance. Action is the keynote against restraint. To have action. That means get your seat of the pants off the seat of the chair, unless, of course, you're a writer. And then that means get your seat of the pants on the seat of the chair and get going. The second one I came up with is fear. I've told you people a lot of times, there is no real source of fear, but there is a real feeling of fear. But if we were to try to go out and find the source, we'd never be able to find it. And yet, we experience it. We experience the fear. We experience it. That means we can experience things that do not have a real source to them. That means, therefore, you can't just go on your experiences of life as a real and valid premises on which to state truth, on which to give forth truth. Well, where does this fear come from? From you. Well, if it comes from me, isn't that a real source? No. Soul doesn't know that. spirit doesn't know that. But the minds and the emotions do know that and live in that and amplify that and use that as the reason to not perform in this world. And it's a lousy reason, but it's one of the best that I wrote down. So can you imagine how these others are? What will they think of me? What if I fail? What if I'm no good? What if I made a mistake? Well, if you do all those, you're human. What if they find out I'm human? Well, that's what you are. But I got to be better human than all the other better humans. That's called lonely. I don't want to be lonely. I fear being lonely. Now, see how those start to play back and forth. Well, what is the cure for fear? Fear is a statement of I'm alone and I'm different and there's nobody else around. And the opposite for that is empathy, to move in feeling level with somebody else, to come in contact with them, to be as one with them, produces a feeling inside that fear cannot abide with. It can still be there as free-floating anxiety. Maybe they this and maybe they that, but it will not be a real thing. Sure, it can make your hands go white and make your face go white and all the blood can go to your stomach. There are all sorts of physiological patterns that can be indicative of a real thing that also is not, because we have the ability to create in so many levels that it's starting to amaze everyone. The third one I came up with is restlessness. Oh, I want to go to school and get my PhD, but gee, I'm so restless, I can't sit there and study, and I got these other things that I got to do, and I'd like to go see the doctor and have him check me out, but I get so tired waiting in his waiting room, and oh, I don't know what to do. I went to see a doctor, and he made me wait in his waiting room, and I sent him a bill for $150, because that was the amount of time that it has to be with me, $150 for an hour. And I said, next time I go down there, you know, you keep me waiting, you'll get more money sent to me. And he got that bill, and the next time I went down, I went in and signed my name. They said, come in right now. And they took me back in and sent me back in one of his offices, and I waited 30 minutes. So I sent him a bill for $75 and told him there's no difference in the back room and the front room. My time is still the same. It's still me. And then when I told him that I was going to sue him for not paying for my time, he said, but you're my patient. I said, yes, but I am your employer, and you're my employee, and don't you forget it. I'm here for you to do things for me. And he goes, got it. Next time I went over there, boy, right in, right now, right out. You know, spend 5 minutes with him and have to wait an hour to do that. There's that restlessness that says, oh, I don't want to go. I gotta have to sit there so long. I have to wait so long. I'd like to go visit these people, but oh, I don't know. And the restlessness is all internal. It's all internal inside of us. Because as soon as we get up and start moving, the restlessness starts to disappear because the energy is being directed. When that energy is being directed, a thing comes forward called feeling good. A good feeling, it's moving. When that energy isn't being directed, it stays around us. Well, what's the cure for this restlessness? I just came up with one word, peace. If I'm here, I'm here. And it's called body, emotions, mind, be quiet. There's a higher force running you. Of course they're not going to pay attention because we've taught them, don't pay any attention to what I say. It's called, you don't keep the agreement with yourself when you agree to do something, so your body won't keep agreements with you when you tell it to do something. We're training it in disobedience continuously, and in disobedience we find illness. I'm not talking about out there in the world, but yes, that's a symptom also. Now, is there time to be disobedient? Yes, when it is a follow-through to the completion, not one of just that is revolutionary. I'll just upset them. I'll just hurt their feelings. Where is the lifting? Where is the peace, be still approach? Most of the time when we have a disease, We are so focused upon the prognosis and the progress of that disease that we're so restless, we don't give ourselves a chance to be calm and quiet and have peacefulness and let the disease leave. We focus on it and hold it. Meditation got very popular healing people because they would focus on something else and the body would relax its pressure on this diseased part. The energy came through and they started getting better. Value of meditation is the peacefulness that comes inside. It is not meaning inactive, sit there like a bump on a log. It means there's not tightness and there's not war inside of you. There's not you fighting with your mother and father inside of you, or with your husband or your wife or your kids or somebody else. There's a quietness there and yet activity. The fourth one I came up with is indecision. And I almost tend to think that this one might be one of the most severe ones. Should I or shouldn't I? I'd like to, but I'm not sure. It's possible, but maybe not. I love them, but I'm not sure how they feel about me. I will, but oh golly. And we sit there as a I call it really a yo-yo. You know, up and down, up and down, up and down, inside, attempting to make a decision. What happens is we don't make a decision, so we get a decision made for us, called decision by default. What is then the possible cure for this thing called indecision? Steadfastness. Make up your mind, stick to it, and do it. What if it's wrong? Correct it. The thing humans can do that no other thing in this world can do is make a corrective action. A knowledgeable corrective action. Other animals make the action on instinct, or upon methodology or training. We can see it and go through it in a cognitive aware state and make a corrective action. If we get off course, we can bring it on course. We are blessed with that ability when we use that ability. The fifth one, this may very well be the killer, indifference. Indifference. If somebody hates you or loves you, they are involved with you. If I take my hand here, and on the top I say, here's love, and underneath I say, here's hate, and I start cutting away the hate, I'm going to end up with the top of my hand, which is love. If it's anger here and love, it's still involvement. But when it's indifference, it's this other hand. It doesn't even care. You're dead. There's no thought. There's nothing on it. When people yell at you, if your husband, your wife yells at you, just be thankful. They're involved. All you have to do is just cure them with gentleness. With gentleness, not with harsh words to match theirs. When they throw the ball of anger at you, you catch it and return them the soft ball of gentleness. And you start playing the game with them. And pretty soon, their anger is transformed into loving and upliftment. But take anger and use it too. If the car falls on your toe out of your anger, pick up the car and move your foot. Gently. If you throw the car too far, I get the other foot. The next one I came up with was weakness. It's this feeling that says, I can't do it. I'm not strong enough. I'm weak. And you know what we use? We use our weakness as the tyranny of weakness, the power of weakness to not perform. I can't go. I have a headache. Get up and go. Well, I can't water ski. I don't know how. You won't learn sitting down. Get up on the skis. I'll fall. Yes. I can't swim. Put on a vest. Take a deep breath, though. I can't sing. Practice. Oh, no. Why not? I can't sing. I know. Practice. Takes lessons. Get going. No, I'm protecting my weakness. And that weakness will be where your illness comes and your disease lives. So what is the cure for weakness? Strength. I don't care what your illness is. You can have fun with it. If you're going to die of leukemia, there's no need to die in 5 years through depression. Why don't you go ahead and have some fun and play with it and see what it's all about? I mean, if the leukemia's eating up 70% of your blood supply, you might want to join the Vampire Society or something like that. Maybe you don't want that. Maybe you want your own blood. Manufacture it. I don't know how. Get busy and start studying. Have some fun with it. Go to somebody else. Ask them, how did you play with yours when you got over? Well, you know, when they told me I had this illness, I just tightened down inside. I said, not me. And I was so tight for months that I not only had that illness, I got two more. I didn't die of leukemia. I died of pneumonia because I wouldn't breathe. I died of heart failure. I died of something else. Yeah, we die all right in our weakness. But what is the cure? Strength. No matter what your illness is, folks, get some strength in it because it needs it. No matter what your illness is, get some strength in it because it needs it. Illness and strength are not compatible. One has to go. The strength will not go. Strength is an inner term. Power is an outer term. I'm talking about an inner strength. You know, that's like the person says, whatever you do, don't go to this dentist down here, such and such a place, because my uncle went, and 2 days later, he was dead. Say, well, good, great gravy. What happened? Say, he got hit by a truck crossing the street. So what's that got to do with the dentist? It was in front of the dentist's office where he got hit. Well, that doesn't mean anything about the dentist. Yeah, but he was going back in there for a checkup. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been down there. So therefore, it's the dentist's fault. And there is that type of thinking that we use to attempt to justify what's gone on. Hey, if you've made a mistake in your life, why don't you just call it a mistake and correct it? It's as simple as that. It's called owning it, taking authority over it. Taking authority over it produces strength. Yes, I've got it, and now I'm going to do something about it. But there's no cure. There's no cure with a lot of things in present-day modern medical terminology, but in a month or two in modern medical terminology, there will be, so it exists today. And it may be found in an orthodox approach that the cure can and is found, but can't be found in a lot of approaches. I mean, there's no cure for cancer being a plumber or being a rancher. However, the fresh air may help. The number seven, as I put here, is doubt. That's called double bind and a double mind. I think so, but I doubt it. I think I'm getting well, but I'm not sure. I'm sure she loves me, but I don't know. Maybe they might not. It's often referred to as the old evil eye. It's your own eye looking back on you. How's the day? It's just wonderful, except my back hurts. So we have that type of doubt. What is the cure for it? Understanding that that is a human condition. Doubt is a human condition. And do not dwell upon it, but use it as a method to prove or disprove that you're going into. I doubt if it's so, then get up and go find out. And if it's not so, your doubt has been part of your knowledge. If it is so, your doubt has been part of your guidance system. Either way, you get to use it. It's when we sit there in this mind, well, I guess we call it left half and right half. Of course, you people know that they're thinking of it this way. No, it's kitty corner from the right back to the left front. It's diagonal, half that way. Oh, it's not. Oh, you mean it's cut in half this way, from ear to ear. Well, whoever said which half it was? Well, right half and left half. That depends on where you're sitting looking. Hey, I'll let you in on a secret. They're going to find out. The brain isn't divided into right and left hemispheres. The brain is an associational organism. It's not even a hologram. It's associational. You'll get that later on when they come out with it. If you have understanding, which is the cure for doubt, when doubt goes up, you say, I understand that I get doubt, and that means there's something there that I don't know, and I'm running assumptions on or presumptions on that I do know, and I don't have the factual, evidential information, so therefore I can't stand on it with a solid conviction, and therefore I feel funny inside, and my mind and my emotions waver. If you know that, you get the information to go yes or to go no. What happens if we go yes, no, yes, no? Or we go, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop. And so the doubt keeps going. Make it stop or make it work. Everything that comes into your environment, internally, externally, used to your advantage by using it for your upliftment. If you do, you won't be to anybody else's disadvantage. They may not like that you're getting ahead, but that's them. But at least you'll be showing them how it can be done. That's important. Not to teach them. Just do it. They'll observe. They'll watch. They'll get it. The eighth one I come up with is intolerance. Another word for this would just be saying, I'm better than you, and I'm not going to listen to you. I know it, and you don't. Don't bother me. That's also a form of prejudice. I know even before I know that I know. That's also a form of looking so closely at one little thing. It's the story of six blind men looking at an elephant, and they all describe various parts of it, and none of them got the whole idea. That type of intolerance, where no matter what the person does, you can find something wrong with it. You can make them wrong if they're right, which is a cheap shot. You want me to show you how cheap it is? You're all wrong. Yeah. See? Pretty cheap. Making everybody right is just as cheap. You want to hear it? You're all right. But one thing I do know is you're all okay. Be'erush Be'shan.
John Rogers' closing words were Be'erush Be'shan, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.